Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Matthew 6, verse 9 is where we're going to be. So pumped for this series. And as you're turning there, I hope many of you will turn there with me. We're going to start today, and we won't be here all series long. But we're going to start today in the Lord's Prayer, which maybe is very familiar to you. But actually, the better way to categorize it is the disciples' prayer, because Jesus is going to tell us here in a moment how you and I should pray, okay? Like, he doesn't need help praying. We need help praying. And what's really cool is the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, is not really even just a prayer. Yes, it is, but really it's GPS coordinates for how we can live our lives, of how we put God first. And really, it's going to help us as we journey with Jesus together. And so we're going to read the disciples' prayer here in just a second, and then we'll read a little bit more from Matthew chapter 6. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And if you memorize the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer in like King James Version, I'm not reading out of that today. I'm reading out of the NIV. Like you'll be okay, all right? Like, just let it go. It'll be fine. You can memorize it in two different versions. That would be great. But Matthew 6, verse 9, here's what it says. This, then, is how you and I should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That would be a great title for a series. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That is so, so good. Now move down with me, same chapter, to verse 31. Jesus goes on. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I think we can all say amen to that, right? Each day's got enough trouble of its own. Calling this message, the first one in our short series here, calling it, Houston, we have a problem. Would you write that down if you're taking notes in church? Houston, we have a problem. In fact, if you don't want to write it down, just look at somebody beside you. Like, help me preach this message and let them know. Like, pick somebody, your favorite, you know, on your row, and just let them know, Houston, come on, help me out. Houston, we have a problem. As you can tell by my title and the series art and the videos and even my shirt representing NASA today, as you tell about all of this, we are using a lot of NASA imagery to help illustrate what we're going to learn in this series. And honestly, on your worship guide here in the room, and you can see the graphics and the videos online, but worship guide in your room, that folded piece of paper, there's a picture of the moon on it. Well, I've been using the moon a lot and the imagery and the symbolism to illustrate some stuff there. And I want you to think about the moon for a moment. The moon is interesting because we've seen it our entire lives in the sky, and yet we've never been there. Like it's there. It doesn't even throw you off when the moon is showing up during the day. Doesn't that throw you off a little bit, right? Like, what's happening? Like, you have the moon and the sun sometimes, but it's there. But we're stuck down here. You see maybe where I'm going a little bit. Like it's there. We can't get there unless you know Elon Musk, right? Unless you know some Jeff Bezos and, you know, like unless you got millions of dollars, which, by the way, we should hang out after service. But anyway, it's like, it's there, but we're stuck down. Like, we can't touch it, but we can see it. And I think that is actually a powerful, beautiful illustration of Christians in our view of heaven, that it's there, but we're not there yet. How many of y'all know Houston is awesome, but it ain't heaven, right? Like, there's no traffic in heaven. There's no crazy drivers, thank the Lord, in heaven. Like there's no taxes in heaven. Can somebody give Jesus some praise, right? How many of y'all know, like, the taxes are real high up in Houston. Like it's just, I tell people this way, the Krispy Kreme light, like hot and ready, like, it's always on in heaven, you know? Like, heaven is a better place, but we're not there yet. And so the question is, how do we stay heavenly minded but still do some earthly good? How do we live it such a way where we're bringing a little heaven down to earth? That's what this series is all about. And to get your heart ready, why don't you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for this powerful passage. The Lord's Prayer, really our prayer as disciples, and even the encouragement you give us with worry and anxiousness and all the things that kind of consume us. I pray, God, today in this part one of the series and even throughout this mini series, I pray, God, that you would speak to us. I pray, God, that you would help us to get heavenly minded, but also to do some earthly good here in our city and around us, in our families, at our jobs, in our schools, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would do something so profound that it doesn't just linger throughout this series, but I pray, God, it would change trajectories. I pray, God, that it would fire up your people to live different the rest of their lives. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you with faith in advance with expectation for what you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Houston, we got a problem. This is such a busy season for a lot of us, and that's what happens when you're a part of a growing church. Like, things are happening, and not just that, but there's busy. Like, it's a busy season for many of you personally, and you got graduations coming up, and we're about to step into wedding season, you know, all that kind of good stuff, and not only that, but for my wife and I, two of our three kids, and our kids are all young, but two of our three kids, they're about to celebrate birthdays. And so it's about to get real busy and also real expensive up in our lives. And maybe you can relate if you got multiple kids. Sometimes birthdays get real close together. Two of our kids, their birthdays are separated by 3 days. And so they're real close. And so we're getting ready for parties and all that kind of good stuff. And birthday parties are interesting for kids because, like, more than Christmas or Easter or any kind of, like, holiday, the biggest day in the life of a child is their birthday, right? Like our kids, maybe, or like your kids, if you've got them, like our kids, as soon as one birthday ends, they're already planning their next birthday. The theme, now, once you get past 25, birthdays are not a big deal anymore, right? Like it's just like sometimes we want to forget them. And I know I'm still young, but still I'm past 25, about 10 years past 25. And so still, like, birthdays are not a big deal for adults, but for kids, it's a really big deal. In fact, if you ever want to see what pure selfishness looks like, pure jealousy, watch a kid at another kid's birthday party when that other kid is opening presents. Just trust me, okay? That's what sin looks like, right? Like, that's our fallen nature. Like, it's rough. They were having a good time during the cake, but whenever they saw another kid getting all these presents, they're thinking about what they do not have and their birthday and all that kind of good stuff. Now, about 3 decades ago, maybe even 40 years ago or so, birthdays for kids, a lot of them happened in skating rinks, right? Did anybody, you or maybe your kid, have a skating rink party? Okay, yeah, a lot of us. And we actually have a skating place here in Houston. If you didn't know, it smells like feet, but it's still a pretty cool place to go if you got young kids. And the pizza tastes like feet too, I'm sure, but still, it is what it is. But I remember skating rink birthdays being a big deal. And our kids, because they're young, and this was popular back in the day too, they love to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Now, parents, this is a safe place. Chuck E. Cheese is like Disney's broke cousin, okay? Like, what I'm about to say, we will never reach anybody who's like a manager at Chuck E. Cheese or anything. But y'all remember back in the day, they had the animatronics, and they would always be like drooped over, and then every hour on the hour, they would pop back up, scaring kids half to death. A lot of the new places that have renovated, they don't have those anymore. And here's what would happen, y'all know what I'm talking about, is when they pop up, there was always one band member that stayed drooped over. Like they didn't wake up, like they took too much Z-Quil, you know, and they're just still, so the whole band is gone, but like the drummer is like, the lights are turned off and he's just drooped over. Like, it's just bad. And I'm convinced that COVID first came out in Chuck E. Cheese. Like COVID was there before it was anywhere else. And so if you can, is it too soon? Okay, sorry. But like, if you can survive Chuck E. Cheese, you can survive anything. I mean, it's just incredible. And incredible, not in a good way, of course. But kids, get on track. Kids, they look forward to this moment in the future. They've got great anticipation. They've got great joy, great excitement. You see where I'm going now for something that's in the not too distant future. And honestly, this should be our heart as Christians. That as we look to heaven, and it's going to be incredible. No sickness, no disease, no cancer, none of that. Heaven's going to be incredible. Worship in the Lord, freedom and joy like we've never experienced before. But as we head there, our mind has got to be there, but also we've got to make sure that we're living in such a way now where we're making a difference. I'll say it to you this way. We're living in such a way where we can get more people to there one day. And this is really the first point. If you're taking notes, write this down. This should be your mindset, your heart, your life. If you're following Jesus, number one, we should all act now with the end in mind. That's the heart of the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, that we would live in such a way, that we would pray in such a way that our mind is on heavenly things, that we're focused on Jesus, but at the same time, we're still doing earthly good. We're trying to fulfill really the vision we have here, heaven full and hell empty. Like we want to get as many people to heaven one day as we can. We want to act now with the end in mind. And as we look to the disciples, I'm just going to start calling it just so you know. I don't want to call it twice, Lord's Prayer, disciple. I'm just going to call it the disciples' prayer. As we look to the disciples' prayer, and we could do a whole series on this, but if you break it down, this is a blueprint for how you and I should pray and how you and I should live. And honestly, you're going to see even our services are designed this way that we're fulfilling this disciples' prayer in this life. And so I could do a whole series, but I'm going to break it down real quick, and they'll show it on the screen behind me. But it starts with worshiping God. And so that's where you and I should start. Like when it comes to your prayer life, when it comes to your actual practical life, your Monday through Saturday, how do we start this service? With worshiping the Lord. That's where it begins. And when it says in verse 9, hallow, it means to honor and glorify God. And so that's how we should start every day. That's how we should live our life. That is first and foremost. It's not about us. It's about God. The second breakdown, verse 10, just real simply, is that we would pray and live in such a way for God's purposes. For God's will to be done with your kids, with your grandkids, in your singleness, in your marriage, at your job. Like, y'all hearing me, church? Like, in everything, it's God, your will be done, not my will. That should be a part of our everyday lives. God, your will be done in me and through me. Here's the third thing, verse 11. We should always live in such a way where we declare our dependence on God. Y'all know here in America, we love our independence, right? Especially in Texas. Like we're the one state, right, that I know of at least that could say we're like a country one day, you know? Like it's the country of Texas, right? Like we don't just have the United States flags at our schools. What else is on there? The Texas flag, right? Like that's just how we I get it when it comes to a nation. And I thank God for our independence, that we can worship God freely, absolutely. But when it comes to your relationship with God, hear me loud and clear, church, we are absolutely dependent on Him. And that should be your prayer. That should be your focus, that God, it's not me earning a paycheck. I am completely dependent on you, whether I have a job or not, whether I'm doing certain things or not. God, when it comes down to it, I am declaring that I trust in you to meet all of my needs. Verse 12, again, just going through it quickly. This is get grace and give grace. This should be a part of your prayer life. This should be a part of your practical life, that you are constantly extending grace to God, you are constantly extending grace to others because you've already received God's grace. God has done so much for me. He has forgiven me of so much. I can't help but forgive others. Like, can anybody remember how messed up, how jacked up your life was before Jesus? You weren't Mother Teresa before Jesus, okay? In fact, I don't think we're even close to being there yet, right? Like there's progressive sanctification. We are growing in grace. And so because God has forgiven us of so much, how could we not forgive others? Like, how could we not extend that grace? So you get grace, you give grace. And the last one, and this is one of the boxes you could even check. I haven't got all the totals on that yet. I can't wait for that series that will be coming in the fall. But this is one of the options for a series. But the last one, verse 13, is spiritual warfare. This should be a part of your prayer life. This should be a part of your practical everyday life. What's that mean, Pastor? It means this. You realize that as a follower, a believer in Jesus, you have God's Spirit living on the inside of you, that you can live a Spirit-empowered life to come against every scheme of the enemy in Jesus' name, that you can overcome temptation in Jesus' name. Anybody hearing me preach this Sunday morning? That you can overcome evil in Jesus' name, that you step into the authority and you don't have to get in the fetal position every time you feel like something's coming against you. You can actually stand up loud and proud, not because of you or your church background, but because of Jesus. Do a whole series on this. But that should be your everyday life. That should be your prayer life. And it doesn't have to look exactly like that, but Jesus makes it real simple. GPS coordinates of how we should live, how we should pray. And so, as we walk and talk with God, check this out, we are living below with a heart towards what is above. We're acting now with the end in mind. All right, here's the second takeaway from the text. It's going to really help somebody. Number two is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, you should consider writing this down. Number two, here it is. Wrong priorities will always lead to worry. And you could reverse engineer that based on what Jesus says later in Matthew chapter 6. That's the portion we move down to. All of chapter 6 is great, by the way. All of chapter 6 is real practical and real helpful for those of us who love Jesus, want to be more like Jesus. But in verses in like 31 through 33, somewhere around that range or so, you can reverse engineer this, and if you have worry in your life, it probably most likely means that you've shifted towards wrong priorities. That you're thinking more, you're living more with yourself in mind instead of God and his kingdom in mind. So just think about it. What makes you worried? What are you worried about right now? You can pretend like you're super spiritual, but let's be honest, we all worry way too much, right? And so, whatever you're worried about right now, it's probably because you're too much in the middle of it. It's probably because you've begun, just like I can, to fixate on the problem. How, I don't know about you, but I try to solve problems I don't even have yet. That's how messed up I am. I'm like, what if this happened? Or what if it went down this road? And I'm like three or four problems ahead when the first problem hasn't even happened yet. And a lot of times it never happens. And so often we worry about things that won't ever even happen. What did Jesus say? Let tomorrow worry about itself. You got enough trouble right now. Like, and by the way, if you don't have trouble, this is a freebie. This is in my notes. But like, if you don't have trouble right now, maybe it's because you're not a threat to the kingdom of darkness. That's not my message. Anyways, okay. Wrong priorities. Back on track. Wrong priorities will always lead to worry. And so for me, just to be honest, you know, taking off the Christian mask we can sometimes wear, like, just to be real and transparent. For me, as I kind of alluded to earlier, it's not always even the big things. Obviously, big things can worry me just like they can you. But for me, it can even be little things. Here a couple of months ago, earlier in this year, I think it was February, I went to the dentist for the first time in 10 years. I knew you were going to say that, like, oh, that was way too long. I didn't have insurance, and so we had to pay out of pocket, and that's my timeline of getting married, too, you know, so that can make whatever you will, but it's been 10 years, and so I went in February, and I was worried about it. Like, I was real, obviously, 10 years is too long. I would have went longer, but my wife was like, hey, we got to go. We got to go. In fact, if any of you have waited longer, like, find me after the service. I'd love to, like, use that for my wife. Hey, so-and-so waited 20 years, you know? So anyways, but you're like, no one's waited that long. But anyways, it was 10 years, and I was worried for a lot of reasons. One of them, just being real, one of them was because my wife had been 10 years for her, and she had just gone, and she had, like, no problems. And so, and if you know me, you know this, we are very competitive, okay? Everybody assumes that it's just me, but y'all don't even know. Like, this girl right here in the front center section, like, she is competitive. And like, if we ever play like a board game or something and I win, she's like, let's go again right now. I'm like, honey, we got to rest, you know, we're serving Jesus. And she's like, no, right? I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. I got to be careful because she gets up here and speaks every once in a while. She'll just set the record straight on. So, but we're competitive. So like her teeth are so, like, she doesn't drink coffee hardly ever. No soda. She brushes like 10 times a day. She flosses. She does all that kind of stuff. Like she goes in and they're like thanking her for coming, you know? Like, oh, you don't even know all these other people and these teenagers. Like, you know, they're like, hey, would you model for us? Your teeth are so perfect. And I don't want to be the guy that comes in whose wife's teeth is like perfect. And they're like, dude, your teeth are messed up. Like, do you ever brush? You know, I don't want that to be, which I do, you know, twice a week. So anyways. Stupid. I'm sorry. So I'm worried for that. But also, I don't know if you've been to the dentist recently. Whenever there's a long lapse in between appointments, they have a really long chart that they want you to fill out. And it just like blew my mind. Maybe it was like this 10 years ago, but I don't remember. But like, they're asking me for my complete life medical history. And I'm like, I'm just getting, like, do I have cavities, you know? Like I had to write down that I got stitches in ninth grade on my chin. Like, that was some of the questions that, like, do you really need? And then I asked the lady, like, not trying to be a jerk, just like half a jerk, you know? And so they didn't know I was a pastor. It's okay. But I was like, why do I have to say, you know, write this down? Because it was a long form. And she was like, everything affects your teeth. And I was like, you say yes? How to stitch? Anyways, so I filled out the form, so I was worried about that. I don't want to forget anything. I got to make sure I fill it all out correctly. And then when you finally get back there, there's a reason why we don't like going to the dentist, right? You are paying somebody a lot of money to torture you. It's just the truth. And they doing that water pick thing, and then you're like trying to like hold your breath, but you're like almost drowning, you know, until they get the little suction thing. And like, I don't know anybody's like, oh, I'm going to the dentist today. Praise God. You know, like, it's just not, this is not a great experience, but I came here to testify, no cavities. I have other issues, but I'm not going to tell you about them. But anyways, I brush too hard. You know, my gums are not as healthy as they should be. But anyway, you're all looking at my teeth right now. I'm just going to keep covering it up. But like, what I'm trying to get at is there's little things and there's big things that can worry us. And don't you love that all this time ago, Jesus knew that. He knew the things that would worry us. And if you go back to what we read, it's the same stuff back then that we're still worrying about today. Like money, job, status, you know, your needs, bills being, like it's the same list. That's the genius of Jesus. And so in the same chapter, Matthew 6, that he says, hey, this is how you should pray and this is how you should live. It's a little bit further down what we read last. Jesus says, hey, you're gonna be tempted to worry. There's gonna be stuff that causes you great anxiety, great stress, and he gives us the antidote. We already read it, but I'm going to read it again. It's verse 33 of chapter 6. What does Jesus say? But seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness. And then all these, what are all these things? It's the stuff that we just talked about that we worry about. Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is saying, hey, you and I, his disciples, like, we can't get so focused on our own kingdom that we lose sight of God's kingdom. Now, how do you know? Here's how you know. Are you worried right now? And if you're worried, it's probably most likely because you're focused on your own needs, on your own self. You're like the sun, and you got the planets orbiting you, but really your life should be orbiting around the sun, S-U-N, or yeah, S-O-N, sorry. I went to Bible college anyways. But so often we're focused on our own lives, our own selves, and everything orbits around us, but we are not the center of our universe. It should be Jesus. And anytime you're worried, you can reverse engineer it that it's because you've probably got wrong priorities, wrong focus. You're focused on meeting your needs. Why? Because it's right in front of you. That bill is new next week or due next week for our credit card. And I've been paying minimum for way too long, right? Like it's so right here and you've lost perspective on there. And so what you've got to do is you've got to get back to the right priority that God, it's not about my own kingdom. Why? Because my own kingdom will fade one day. My own kingdom will not last. But there is a greater kingdom, God's kingdom, that is eternal, that will last forever. And so when I'm worried and when I'm anxious, I am too focused on my own kingdom. And I've got to get better perspective. Like I got to get better perspective. God, even if it doesn't go perfectly, you're still on the throne. God, even if it turns out in a different way than I wanted, it's going to be okay. Because yes, I am earth born, but I am heaven bound. Y'all with me, church? Earth is temporary. This is not my home. So even though bad things are going to happen, and even though we live in a fallen world, and even though the diagnosis is not always going to be great, it's okay because it won't always be this way. There's a better place. We've got to stay, and this will really speak to somebody who's going through something right now. We've got to stay heavenly minded. God, it's not good right now, but I know this isn't going to last. So God, I lift up my eyes to you. I keep proper perspective. I got the right priorities. God, it's you first. It's you first. My kingdom's going to fade away one day, but your kingdom will last forever. So make it practical. Make it personal. Jesus says this to you and I, that we should seek him first in our family. So when you make family decisions, like ask yourself honestly, like have you asked God first? Hey, we want to do this. We want to move. Do we have more kids? Do we stop having kids? Like, have you consulted with God? I'm going to seek you first, God, in my family. I'm going to seek God first at your job. Are you just jumping? Like, this has been the year, I'm sure you've seen it on the news, called the Great Relocation. So many people, and not even this year, really 2021, so many people switching jobs and moving cities and some of that is necessary and some of that is God-centered, but how many of y'all know some of that is just chasing a paycheck? Have you sought God in your relationships? I know they look good and you want to date them, but have you talked to God first? To put God first in your life. And Jesus says, when you put him and his kingdom first, he will take care of everything else. Got to get back to proper priority where God is first. Now, here's how I want to end this service. We don't normally do something like this, but I think it's going to be real powerful and real good. And so we're going to go back to the disciples' prayer. And in fact, would you, and y'all are doing so awesome back, would you put it on the screen for me in the room, and then it'll also be lower thirds. So here's what we're going to do. I know it's NIV again, and maybe you memorized it in the King James, a New King James, but like it would be great to memorize it in a couple different translations. And so I want to end the service today before we pray by reciting this together out loud. Not enough people do that, by the way. Like sometimes you got to preach to yourself. So it's good to read it out loud. I've said this many times, but you can have God's word read to you out loud with an actor's voice that you really like their voice. And you can find somebody with a British accent because they always sound like smarter, you know, and better. Like you can do all that. But I want us to read this together. So it won't be repeat after me. We're not getting married, okay? Like you'll be repeating it with me and follow my rhythm and follow my flow. And even if you've done the King James Version, we're doing NIV, so don't be that person, right? And you're like, just like, but I think it's going to be a real special way for us to end the service. Maybe we even end up doing it all 3 weeks of this series, but at least today. So Matthew 6, starting in verse 9, you'll find my rhythm, but say it out loud with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Bow your heads with me, close your eyes. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this powerful, powerful chapter in the Bible. Thank you, God, that you made sure to anoint and inspire Matthew to record this for the local church right away that was built after you ascended up to heaven, but also to help the church now in 2022. It's a blueprint. It's GPS coordinates for us. So practical. How do we live? How do we pray? And so I pray, God, for all of us that you would help us to be kingdom-minded, your kingdom, not ours, to live now, to act now with the end in mind. How do we bring a little heaven down to earth? How do we get more people to heaven one day? I pray, God, for those of us that we're worried, we're anxious. It could be something big and colossal. It could be the bad news they got from the doctor this past week. It could be a broken relationship. It could be something so huge, or it could be even something little. It could even be something that hasn't even happened yet. But I pray for my friends that are worried and anxious right now. I pray, God, they would realize the truth, that the reason why is because they probably have shifted to the wrong priority, focused on themselves and their own kingdoms. And I pray, God, in this moment, that you would give us proper perspective, that we're to seek you first. We're to put you first. We're to seek your kingdom to expand on earth as it is in heaven first. And as we get proper perspective on you, it will actually help us here, that we can be heavenly minded, but also still do some earthly good. And as we focus on, it didn't even make sense. I get it. It's a struggle within. Doesn't make sense logically. The logical explanation would be, you know what? I focus on me first and I give you, God, whatever's left, but that's not what you command. You say, no, I know it's illogical, but you put me first and you got to trust that I'll take care of the rest. So God, help us to have faith like that. Help us to have trust like that, that you are faithful to take care of all that stuff. You will take care of our tomorrow if we'll be living for you and dedicated to you today. Thank you, God, for what you've spoken. And I pray, Lord, last but certainly not least, I pray for anybody in this service. I pray for anybody in the room, anybody online that's far from you. I pray today would be their day of salvation. I pray today they would surrender their life to you. That's where they start. That's the starting line, not the finish line. That, God, your will be done in me. I surrender my life to you. So you can do that right now in the room. If you'd close your eyes, bow your heads if they're not already. Close your eyes and your heads bowed. Would you do that for me? God, I pray for anybody that's far from you that today would be their day. And you can whisper to the Lord right now, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. I give you my future. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead 3 days later. So Jesus, I ask you, you're just whispering to the Lord right now, just you and him. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to clean me up from the inside out. I make you my personal Lord and Savior. You are my God. I'm gonna trust you. So important that you whisper that to him. I'm gonna trust you, God. I'm gonna put my faith in you, believing that you can take way better care of me than I could ever take care of myself. Thank you, Lord, for those that are giving their lives to you. Thank you, God, for eternal destinations that are being changed. Live in the room, but also maybe even later online on YouTube, on demand. Thank you, God, for decisions that are being made. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for who you are and how you help. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website, or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.